Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You want to know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show.
Radio show.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Radio show. Sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
Sounds of the Living Waters radio show. Welcome everybody, it's Sunday night, Brother Paul, Fellowship of the Spirit, along with our reader, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Jeremy. I want to say, first off, before we even go any further, happy Passover to those that are at the end of their Passover. Happy Feast of Unleavened Bread to those that are in it. Happy first day of the week to those that have already celebrated the feast. And the title of today's precept will be Rejoice, Sing Praises, and Worship. We're going to get into a little bit about our personal conduct at the feast. But before we do, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. We'll face the temple in Jerusalem, or where it will be again, to the east. And if you brothers will please remove your head coverings, and you sisters, if you are so persuaded, please cover your heads. And we'll go ahead and open up in prayer. Oh, great God of Israel, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather. And Father, as always, we come to you and we ask that you keep your ever-loving hedge about all your saints and keep them safe and protected. And Father God, we also ask, as always, that you open our hearts, give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. And at the very least, Heavenly Father, we ask that you edify us tonight. For these and all your blessings, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, sisters and brothers, rejoice, sing praises, and worship. You know that I like to deal with the daily walk, because without that daily walk, it doesn't mean anything. We can have all the knowledge in the world, and if we don't know how to put it into practice in all our affairs on a daily basis, according to the scriptures, with love and meekness and humility, which goes against this wicked human heart that we all possess. That's why we're always guarding it, and we're always leading our heart. But then you come to a point where the Lord says three times in the year, you got to appear before Him, and He wants you to rejoice and sing praises and worship Him. And that's part of our daily walk, too. That's part of walking perfect before God, is coming before Him and knowing how we're supposed to conduct ourselves at the feast, with joy, singing praises and worshiping Him and rejoicing before Him. So let's start this off in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, we're not going to be long and drawn out. The only pricking of the heart today is going to be to get you to sing a little bit louder tonight and tomorrow if you're in the middle of the feast. And if you're not, when you go to work tomorrow, and you're over there and you're in the world but out of it, hopefully you'll have a little bit more of a pep in your step. Leviticus 23, and Brother Jeremy, will you start this lesson off in verse 1, please, brother? 23 and 1. Whenever you're ready, brother.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning my, or the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts.
So now we make this point clear every time, it seems like, the teacher comes here and they're talking about the feast of the Lord, because of the way the world twists things. This is the Lord speaking unto Moses to tell the children of Israel, so they will know how to serve him, so they can teach the rest of the sons of Adam, or the rest of the nations. And he's saying, these are my feasts, and these you shall even proclaim them to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. This is the Lord talking. Very specific, sisters and brothers. This isn't Catholicism. This isn't Protestantism. This isn't being a Baptist or a Mormon or any of those man-made religions. This is pure religion, undefiled. It's straight from God. And this is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves, according to the feast of the Lord. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
First thing the Lord lays out is his weekly Sabbath day. He tells you that he wants you to keep that weekly Sabbath day, and it's also a holy convocation. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons.
And notice here that the Lord is saying that you proclaim these in their seasons. Proclaim them in their seasons. And this is the season for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Go ahead, brother.
In the 14th day of the first month, that even is the Lord's Passover.
And I believe all of us have celebrated that, or we're just finishing that. And if not, if we have it coming up, then you have your Passover coming up. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover.
Uh-huh.
And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
So you've got the Passover, and then you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts the very next day for 7 days, and this is where we get all the leavening out of our house, which represents sin. We get the sin, and we take it far from us, so we get all the leavened bread and all that. We get it all out. Not all the leavening, but all the leavening products, all the bread and whatnot, because wine has leavening in it. So does some, if I'm not mistaken, some hard drink. And the Lord says, whatever your soul lusteth after for these feasts, of course, within his commandments and realms of lusting after something, whatever your soul lusteth after, wine, strong drink, all this. Remember, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We're not eating any leavening bread, any crackers, cakes, anything that puffs up, because it's going to remind us to put sin far away from us when we put that leavening away from us. Okay? Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 7. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work there.
Uh-huh.
But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day in holy convocation, you shall do no servile work there.
So now what you're going to do is you're going to keep this Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you're going to keep it unto the Lord 7 days. You're not going to eat any bread, any leavened bread. You're going to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and you're going to rejoice and sing praises and worship before God. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I gave unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest.
And for some of us, today is the feast of the wave sheaf. For some, they keep it according to however they figured the new moon. You've had the Passover, and today is that first Sunday after the Passover, and this is where the priest would wave the sheaf before you could actually partake in eating anything for the feast. So now, this is the wave sheaf day, which represents Jesus being accepted as our sin sacrifice by our Heavenly Father. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave.
Go ahead, brother.
And he shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf in he lamb without blemish of the first year of a burnt offering unto the Lord.
So now we know we're in the law, we're in Leviticus. It's talking about the animal sacrifices, but we understand we don't sacrifice animals anymore. That when our Messiah, Christ Jesus, died on the cross, that was the end of the human priesthood and the beginning of that priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, no beginning, no end. It was our high priest was now Christ Jesus, and that perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world had been made. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 13.
Yes, sir.
And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin.
Go ahead, brother.
And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, till the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings.
A statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwellings. And when it comes to the feast, sisters and brothers, you'll read that often, very much, all over the book, in so many different ways. Let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I don't want to get bogged down with getting caught up, getting sidetracked on any of this. Let's get into this. Let's get done with this, if you will, so we can continue to feast before the Lord. Matthew 18, one verse, verse 20, brother. 18 and 20, go ahead.
Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
And this is why we're rejoicing at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Our Messiah is with us. Our Messiah is there with us, and he's keeping this feast with us, of course, in spirit, but he's there with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If that's not enough to rejoice and sing praises and worship for, I have no idea what would be. The simple things that the scriptures talk about that we seem to forget about, like when we gather on the weekly Sabbath, when there's at least two of us gathered in the name of Jesus, he's there with us. For this Feast of Unleavened Bread, where at least two are gathered in his name on those high holy days, and on any day you're gathering for seven straight days, he's there with us. That in itself is a reason to rejoice and sing praises. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. We can read where the Lord used to be with Israel. Where he used to walk amongst them. He told, that's where the military got the thing about digging a cat hole. When you had to use the bathroom, you dug a hole. You went, you did what you had to do, you buried it over. And the Lord told Israel to do that so that when he was walking amongst them, he wouldn't step in it. And mankind drove our Messiah off this earth. And every time we gather in his name and there's more than one of us, he comes back and he's seated there with us. That right there is a reason to rejoice. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. Brother, go ahead.
Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the first month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd. In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there.
And we know that that place is Jerusalem, but we know that that's not where the Lord is now. It's in whatever dwelling that we happen to be with is where we keep it. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 3. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life.
Go ahead, brother.
And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts, 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until the morning.
So now the Lord's just given Israel the directions out of how to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Starting with the Passover, you're going to eat unleavened bread, then you're going to eat it for 7 days. You're not going to eat any leavened bread. It's not even going to be seen anywhere for 7 days, wherever you dwell. Go ahead and continue, brother. We're not going to get into all the little things and all the little endless genealogies of all this. We couldn't rejoice and sing praises and worship if we did. So I'm not going to say forgive me if I skim over some of this. I'm just going to say let's rejoice, sing praises, and worship. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 5.
Yes, sir.
Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Go ahead.
But at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun. at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt.
Go ahead, brother.
And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tent.
So you've got unleavened bread. You've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Lord is telling you how to keep this, and he's telling you continuously to come and rejoice before him. Every time we turn around, the Lord is telling us to rejoice before him. Brother, define rejoice for us. Will you please? This is Webster's 1828 dictionary. There's actually two definitions for this. Go ahead, brother.
Rejoice, to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult.
Now, I want you to picture this, sisters and brothers, because here we have what we understand to be the feast. We gather every Sabbath day, and then when the feast comes, some congregations pass out food. Those of us that are smaller congregations, we do the best we can. We gather all the food together. We get the Lord the best, and we gather and we decorate the hall or the meeting room or the house or wherever we gather, and we do the best we can. And when we're gathering on the feast and we're not working and we're coming and we're rejoicing and singing praises and worshiping before our God, we are just filled with such joy and such peace. We're amongst like-minded people who are all praising and rejoicing and singing praises and worshiping. Imagine what this would be like if we could actually go where the Lord is going to set his name and we could all meet in Jerusalem, hundreds and thousands of people all there with one single purpose, to rejoice, to sing praises and to worship. We need to take that spirit into each and every feast. Every feast, especially with this first one, we've examined ourselves. We were tough on ourselves, too, if we did it right. If we did it right, we're tougher on ourselves than we are on anybody else, members of our family or anyone. Even our enemies, we're tougher on ourselves than them. And then we take it before the Lord, and we prayed, and we meditated, and now we're in the feast, and now it's time to let our hair down like the Lord said to do. Whatever your soul lusteth after, whether it be wine or strong drink, whether it's lamb or whether it's cattle, whether it's goat, all the clean animals that the Lord gave us. And now this is the time he's telling us, let your hair down, man. Yeah, be sober and vigilant. I'm going to stretch that sober for you a little bit because I'm going to let you have some wine and strong drink. Just don't go over the edge and go silly on me. And I'm going to let you rejoice before me. I'm going to let you sing. And I'm going to let you just let your hair down and you can just cut loose. What did they say? Turn it up?
I know you didn't just let it.
Because I really don't know. But I just know that the feast can be off the chain. If we're bringing it right before the Lord, rejoicing, singing praises, worshiping, letting your hair down. Of course, we can't do it sometimes at the bigger congregations. They serve a little wine or whatever. But when we're together, what if after the feast, when you're home with your wife or you're home with your husband and the kids are in bed, you can cut out that little bit of extra strong drink, or you can break out another bottle of wine. And you can sit back, you can listen to some good praise and worship or whatever. You can come before God. You can sit back and you can chill and relax and you don't have nothing to worry about because you're in the middle of the feast and you're rejoicing before God. Did you read that second definition, brother?
No.
Go ahead and read that second definition. Let's move on. I'll have us here all night. Go ahead.
To make joyful, to gladden, to animate with lively pleasurable sensations. To exhilarate.
To make joyful, to gladden, to animate with lively, pleasurable sensations, to exhilarate. Exhilarate. Let's move on. Psalm, the 32nd chapter, and I'm going to pick it up a little bit. Psalm 32. And brother, pick it up at verse 10. 32 and verse 10. When you get there, go ahead.
Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him.
Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. You think that might be a reason to rejoice? Go ahead, brother.
verse 11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Let's go to Habakkuk, the third chapter. Habakkuk, the third chapter. Habakkuk 3. I hear my children just got home. Hope they remember it's Sunday night. Habakkuk, the third chapter. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 18. 3 and 18. Go ahead.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Go ahead, brother.
The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds.
Like hinds' feet. Go ahead.
Like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high place.
Uh-huh.
The chief singer on my stringed instrument.
Now notice how this psalm ends. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments, they're praising him. They're singing praises. They're rejoicing before our God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Brother, when you get there, let's pick it up in verse 15. We'll pick it up a little bit here. We'll be here all night. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 15. Go ahead.
Do that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
Follow that which is good, not only to yourselves and to the brethren, but to all men. Go ahead, brother.
Rejoice evermore.
Rejoice evermore. Go ahead.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Let's go to Isaiah, the 65th chapter. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Need a reason to rejoice? Isaiah 65 and pick it up at verse 17, brother. 65 and 17. Go ahead.
For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind.
I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You're not even going to remember all this folly from Clinton through Trump and any folly that's coming after. And any folly that was before that, you don't have to remember all the lies and all the cheat and all the deceit and all the stealing that everybody's doing from us. Because when you're a saint, man, you're open pickings. The government's
Amen.
Taking it from you. You know they're stealing from you, and you're not doing anything about it because you're trying to be an Israelite indeed in whose mouth there is no guile. And everybody's got their hand in your pocket. Go ahead and continue, brother.
But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy.
But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. In what our Heavenly Father has created. In what he gives to the Messiah, and the Messiah makes it and brings it forth. Which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Jerusalem rejoicing, brother. Go ahead and continue.
And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
Look what God is going to do. God is going to rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in his people, just like he wants us to rejoice and joy in him. Go ahead, brother.
There shall be no more events an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days.
Uh-huh.
For the child shall die in a hundred years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed.
Look at this. This is what we need to be rejoicing for, sisters and brothers, this time to come. Go ahead, brother.
And ye shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them.
Go ahead.
They shall not build in another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
And it's the opposite right now with the nation of Israel, with the physical nation of Israel. They're over there, and they're building, and they're not living in their homes. They're over there, and they're planting. They're not enjoying the fruit of their labor. But at the appointed time, when our Messiah returns and he gathers Israel and all those that are pleasing to his voice from all the other nations that he has called and have responded. That's the hope that we live in, sisters and brothers. And these feast days, as we know, are a shadow of things to come. And each and every one of these feast days lays out the plan for man's salvation from God. This is the reason we rejoice and sing praises and worship. This is the reason we do this, sisters and brothers. Are you done with 22, brother?
Yeah.
Go to the definition of praise, please. Go to the definition. Look what the Lord says we need to do. The Lord is our praise. What's praise, brother? Go ahead.
Did you not want me to read through 25?
No, I just wanted you to go through 22. Go ahead.
Praise, to commend, to applaud, to express approbation of personal worth or action.
Uh-huh. In other words, give credit for personal worth or actions. Go ahead.
Number two, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfectness, or of perfections or excellent works.
And there's no one more perfect in the work more excellent than our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son. Go ahead, brother.
Number three, to express gratitude for personal favor.
And we do that on our own in morning meditation or evening meditation whenever we come before God daily. Go ahead, brother.
Psalm 138.
Uh-huh.
Number four, to do honor to display the excellence of.
And this is from Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is what it means to praise, to commend, to applaud, to express approbation of personal worth or actions. To extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works. This is what we're supposed to be doing on a feast when we come before our God. Let's go to Psalm, the seventh chapter. Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Brother, we're going to read one verse. Psalm 7. One verse. Verse 17, please. 7 and 17. When you get there, brother, go ahead and read it. Yes, but the next one's not so far. 7 and 17. Go ahead.
I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness.
I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness to express approbation of personal worth or actions. Go ahead, brother.
And we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
And we'll sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High, to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfection or excellent works. Let's go to Psalm, the ninth chapter. Psalm 9. Brother, pick it up at verse 1. You're going to read 1 and 2. Go ahead.
Verse 1.
Yes, sir.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart.
I will praise thee with my whole heart. Not with my lukewarm actions. With my whole heart, with my desire, as best I can, to keep myself sober and vigilant, walking perfect before you, God. With the whole heart. Go ahead, brother.
I will show forth all thy marvelous works.
Uh-huh.
I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high.
Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and we're going to pick this up at verse 1, brother. 56 and verse 1. When you get there, go ahead.
Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me.
Uh-huh.
Mine eyes would daily swallow me up.
Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. Go ahead.
For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high.
Uh-huh.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Yes, sir.
In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
In God I will praise his word. And because I put my trust in him, I don't have any fear of what flesh can do unto me. What are they going to do? They're going to kick me out of my house, take all the food away from me. The Lord's going to set me up in the woods with a crate better than I had, and he's going to let the food just drop into my lap. What's man going to do if the Lord tells me I want you to have shelter and food? What's man going to do? That's like that foolishness that AA saying, I stay sober for you people. If I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink. Nobody's going to stop me. If the Lord's going to have something happen, can't nobody stop it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do against a God that dries up rivers? That when he walks, the mountains quake? that if man stops praising him, he'll make servants out of the stones. What are you going to do against a God like that? That's why we worship and we praise him. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5.
Yes, sir.
Every day they rush my word. All their thoughts are against me for evil.
Uh-huh.
They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul,
uh-huh.
Shall they escape my iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people. Oh, God.
See, they're coming against me privily. They're sneaking around in the dark. They're waiting for me. They're setting up ambushes. Take care of it, my God. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?
Are they not in thy book? We'll be reading about that book in a minute. Go ahead, brother.
When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
Can you say that? This feast day, you've examined yourself. You're over here rejoicing and singing praises and worshiping. Every one of us can say that this feast day, because God is for me. I know he's got my back. Every one of us can say that. We're in the midst of unleavened bread. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word.
In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me.
Uh-huh.
Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee.
I will render praises unto thee. Go ahead, brother.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Let's go to Psalm 149, sisters and brothers. Psalm 149. This is getting good. Let's read about more praises. Psalm 149, brother. We're going to pick it up at verse 1. 149 and verse 1, brother. When you get there, please go ahead.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Go ahead, brother.
And his praise in the congregation of saints.
Uh-huh.
Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
Rejoice in him. Praise him. Worship him. Now is the time to let the hair down and do this. Go ahead, brother.
Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will
beautify
the meek with salvation.
For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Everything we do, he's watching, sisters and brothers. Somebody that's wicked gets crazy. The Lord knows that, but he's still watching us to see how we respond. He's always watching his saints because he's always taking care of his saints. He's always waiting for his saints to come unto him and to cast all their cares upon him. And when they're knee-deep in temptation and sorrow, he wants them to be right there, just like a child with their human mother or father. And at this feast, sisters and brothers, this is why we need to rejoice and sing praises and worship him. This is the time when he's got his hedge about each and every one of us. And it's almost like Satan, like he's not even around during the feast, most times. It's almost like he's not even around. The root of awakening is that first day back to work or second day back to work after you got a day or two off and you're rejoicing before God. Or if you got it that way, you got the whole week off. That's why I think next week we're going to do a precept called Back to Business. But anyway, back to business now. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 5.
Yes, sir.
Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, brother.
Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand.
Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and his word be in their hand. Go ahead, brother.
To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people.
Go ahead.
Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with
fetters of iron. And that's going to happen at the appointed time, the first resurrection. Go ahead, brother.
To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
This honor has all the saints. This is talking about coming back and taking the Lord's kingdom by force. And we've all been called to do that. or we wouldn't be in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That in itself is a reason to rejoice, sing praises, and worship. Let's go to Psalm 150. Some of us don't even have to turn the page. Picking right up at verse 1, brother. Go ahead.
That's pretty far away from 149. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise him. Go ahead, brother.
Praise him for his mighty act.
Praise him. Go ahead.
Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Praise him. Go ahead.
Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp.
Praise him. Praise him. Go ahead, brother.
Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him with the band. Praise him with the choir. Praise him by yourself when you're waking up out of bed. Praise him in the shower. Praise him while you're cooking the dinner.
Amen.
Rejoice, sing praises and worship to this God. Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high stones.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Sisters and brothers, you got breath? You praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This is the time. Let's worship before the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. And, brother, when you get there, you're going to read 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 26. Pick it up at verse 10. Go ahead, brother.
And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy
and
God.
And worship before the Lord thy God. Go ahead. Verse 11.
And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing, which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto the house, thou and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you.
And you're going to worship before the Lord thy God, and you're going to rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto you. Every good thing. Oh, the Lord ain't giving me nothing, man. You know what? You need to take them scales off your eyes and take a good look. The first thing he did was he woke you up this morning. I know that's cliche, but that's a fact. And then from there, you hungry? Are you really hungry? You ever really been hungry? Has anybody ever gone 3 or 4 days without much food? Not by choice? That's hungry. Not having a bite to eat for 3-4 hours, that's not hungry. That's not hungry, I'm sorry. It's not. You come before the Lord, and you worship before the Lord, and you praise him, and you sing praises. Rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house. And also to the Levite and the stranger that is among you. In other words, to everyone that is fearing him and keeping his commandments. Brother, what's the definition of worship? We have two definitions, and these also from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Go ahead, brother.
With the worship.
Yes, sir.
One, to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration.
Uh-huh.
Two, to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence.
Go ahead.
Three, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission as a lover.
To honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You got a whole big book right here that's every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You better start reading it. What's that second set of definitions, brother?
Worship. One, to perform acts of adoration.
Uh-huh.
Two, to perform religious service.
To perform acts of adoration and to perform religious service, like the keeping of the Passover and the feast. Let's continue. Let's go to John, the 4th chapter. John, the 4th chapter. And we're bringing it in now. Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. Notice I didn't say, and this next one will be last, because I'd be lying to you otherwise. We've got a few more to go here. John 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 22 when you get there, brother. John 4.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Hold the horse till I get on. John 4 and verse 22. Go ahead.
You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Jesus is saying, you telling the woman at the well, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What he does what? what he worships. Go ahead, brother.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Go ahead.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
And we just read the definition of worship. Now we know what they're talking about. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
God is a truth, and they that is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping our Heavenly Father. Let's go to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Zechariah 14. We know that the Lord said that wherever he sets his name, and that at the appointed time in Zion or Jerusalem is where the Lord desires to live. And we know that he said three times in the year he wants us to come up there and to keep the feast. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, during the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, and during the Feast of Tabernacles, he's requiring everyone to come up there to keep his name. Well, this is what the Lord says when he returns. What happens if you don't go up to keep one of his feasts? And if you don't go up to keep the one feast, this will hold true for the other two feasts too, would they not? Zechariah 14, one verse, verse 16, brother, go ahead.
Verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles.
This is just to let you know that these feast days are good forever. The Lord is using Tabernacles as an example here, but we can go into Ezekiel, and we're going to go there in a minute. But when you go into Ezekiel and you're reading about the temple, you could read about all the feast days and everything and all the animal sacrifices and everything that's going to be conducted in the kingdom of Messiah when he returns. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 46th chapter. Ezekiel, the 46th chapter. Ezekiel 46. Ezekiel 46, and brother, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. Ezekiel 46 and verse 1. When you get there, go ahead and read.
Ezekiel 46.
46 and 1. I was wondering what you're doing.
I could not find it.
You had a massive brain aneurysm.
I did.
Ezekiel 46, and pick it up in verse 1, brother. Go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the six working days.
Uh-huh.
But on the Sabbath it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open.
So this gate that faces east in the kingdom of our Messiah, we're talking about the temple here, the temple compound, the temple gate that faces east. Okay, go ahead and continue, brother.
And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate.
Uh-huh.
And the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening.
Go ahead, brother.
Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbath and in the new moon.
Now look what it says. In the Sabbaths, plural, and in the new moons. Is it talking about just the weekly Sabbaths, plural, or is it talking about the high days, too? Skip down to verse 9 and continue.
Verse 9. When the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast.
Oh, maybe the Sabbath is talking about the high Sabbath days, too, because it's talking about the feast days here. Go ahead, brother.
He that entereth in by the way of the north gate, the worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against.
So now we've got the feasts being kept in the kingdom of our Messiah, Christ Jesus, when he returns, that millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign, that first resurrection, all those of us that have been called, that are deemed worthy in the eyes of our God, make that first resurrection. This is talking about that time, sisters and brothers. And it's talking about the feast days. We're not talking about the gate and why it's open and all that. We're just going here to show you that these feasts are good, not only now, but when Jesus returns too. And we can read they were good when he was on this earth. And we can read that they were good long before he even came through Mary. Psalm, the 99th chapter.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I thought that I was going to have to read some more, and I lost my place.
Psalm 99. You got a few more scriptures to go, brother. Psalm 99. And let's pick it up at verse 1. 99 and verse 1. The last scripture dealing with worship. Go ahead.
The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved.
That's a whole other lesson. He sitteth between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. Go ahead, brother.
The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people.
Uh-huh.
Praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy.
Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Exalt ye the Lord your God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy.
Worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Worship. Go ahead, brother.
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them.
And when you call upon the Lord, and you're walking in righteousness, you're striving to walk perfect before him with a perfect heart, he answers you too. Go ahead, brother.
He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them.
Uh-huh.
Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God, thou wast the God that forgavest them. Though thou tookest vengeance of their invention.
He's an ever-loving and merciful God, and as long as you're striving to keep his testimonies, even when you fall stupid short, he's there to pick you up. And anyone that's walked this walk for a while, you know what stupid short is. Because every one of us has fallen stupid short at one time or another. And this in itself is a reason to rejoice and sing praises and to come before him and worship together on these feast days. One more verse, brother. Go ahead.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy.
Yes, sir. Why rejoice and sing praises and worship? Let's look at a few scriptures that tell us why, and we'll end this. Luke, the 10th chapter. Start this off in Luke, the 10th chapter, and we have just a few more. Luke 10. And brother, pick it up in verse 17. Luke 10 and verse 17. Go ahead.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
So he's telling you, I've given you all power. Heavenly Father gave me all power in heaven and on earth, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you all power as my servant, and nothing's going to hurt you. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now look what the Lord's going to warn you about. Go ahead.
Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not.
Notwithstanding in this, don't rejoice. But what should we rejoice in, brother? Go ahead.
That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Because your names are written in heaven. Remember that book we read about earlier? Let's go check that out one time. Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Then we're coming right back here to Luke 10. Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Brother, we're going to read one verse. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Go ahead.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.
This book, sister and brother, is seated in the tabernacle in heaven with our Messiah and our Heavenly Father, and it's called the Book of Life. Let's go back to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. Your name's not in the Book of Life. You don't have a shot at the Tree of Life. You don't have a shot at the Kingdom. Luke 10. And brother, we're going to pick it up this time at verse 21, right where we left off. Luke 10 and 21. When you get there, go ahead.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it is deemed, it has seemed good in thy sight.
For so it seemed good in thy sight, Father. Even Jesus said, Heavenly Father, your will, not mine, be done. He gave us a perfect example of how to walk. You bring a petition before your God, and you keep getting that feeling that he's just kicking it to the curb. Maybe he is. Pay attention. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 42. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
All things are delivered by Jesus of his Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. The Father calls, and you have to come through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus reveals our Heavenly Father to us. Because we've never seen, nobody's ever seen the Heavenly Father or heard his voice. We learn about him through our Messiah. And when we know Jesus, we know our Heavenly Father, because they're one and the same. Our Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. And when we take hold of those commandments, and his love is perfected within us by the taking hold of those commandments, now they are both in us, and us in them. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 23.
Yes, sir.
And he turned them unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
Blessed are your eyes that see the things which you see. Go ahead.
Verse 24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
So the kings and prophets have desired to see the things and to hear the things that the disciples saw and heard, but they didn't hear them. And what our Messiah has done, our Heavenly Father has allowed our Messiah to open our eyes and our ears. Even though we're not eyewitnesses to our Messiah, we have just as much understanding as the disciples had, and maybe even more. More than some of the prophets, more understanding than Daniel. Daniel was looking at some of the things for the end of times, and the Lord told him, go your way, it's not for you. But all of us in these end times, the Lord has revealed to us, the more we take hold and respond in righteousness, the more the Lord gives us, the more responsibility, the more is required of us. Just in that, sisters and brothers, is a reason to rejoice and sing praises and worship. Last place, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And brother, we're going to pick this up at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15, and this will be it. Go ahead.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
uh-huh,
with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Go ahead.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Go ahead, one more verse.
Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
And sisters and brothers, if that is not a reason to rejoice and sing praises and worship this feast day, I just don't know what is. So sisters and brothers, as always, it was an honor and a privilege to stand before you this Sunday night, and I hope that somebody got something from these scriptures. Let's get back to the feast, and let's rejoice and sing praises and worship our God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
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 Let me see if you say this quickly. You know, I kind of get the same kind of vibe that, and the same kind of thought pattern that provoked this lesson. throughout the camps, and it ain't just in one. It's not a concentrated area. It's all over the place. And it's bad. It's like people bringing the world into the gospel. They bring it. The Lord talking about that malice and that spirit of wickedness, man, and we seem to not know the truth. So we need to know the difference. So, yes, sir, we're supposed to be back. We're supposed to be, he said, this is the thing that they noticed through my disciples, that you love one another. You mean to tell me we can't even sit down and enjoy the feast again? Without striving amongst each other, even amongst the camps, within ourselves? You can't take a day off from going into these things, from the flesh? This lesson was necessary, man, because I've seen a lot of it. I've been looking and I'm like, wow, man, you know, what are we doing here? You know, what's the point? If we still gonna walk away from the feast feeling like you just walked out of the world. The Lord said, I'm gonna be a sanctuary in wherever you are. I'm gonna be a little sanctuary. Now you're telling me that the feast days isn't a sanctuary for me anymore?
Mm-hmm.
People is trying to steal the feast days and the sanctuary of the feast and the laws. That's good for me. No, man, this lesson was perfect. It was excellent, and I truly enjoyed it. And great job reading, Jeremy.
Amen.
Yeah, he did. And yes, he did. Yeah. Okay. I yield the mic.
Amen. All the lines are open, so if anyone would like to say anything, go right ahead. If not, Brother Paul, you have any last words for us?
Just enjoy the feast, sisters and brothers. I had the feast. I go by full moon, new moon, and this year it fell right smack dab on the first day of Abib. So my feast is behind me, my Feast of Unleavened Bread and my Passover. I praise God for all you sisters and brothers that are out there keeping it now, that are, I believe, now at least all in unleavened bread. And I know there might be some that are coming up that might be getting ready to start it. I'm not quite sure about all that. But just enjoy the feast. Leave those useless, endless genealogies to the side, man. Don't even let them go. Enjoy yourself. Do what we're supposed to do during the feast season, man. Rejoice and sing praises and worship our God. And God willing, next week, we're going to try to bring us back down, get our heads out of the clouds, and I think we're going to do something next Sunday called Back to Business. So,
amen.
Sisters and brothers, enjoy the week. Enjoy the feast. Praise God in Jesus' name. And God willing, we'll see you next week. Grace and peace in Jesus' holy name, everyone.
Amen.
Amen. So, say grace and peace to everyone that listened tonight. And we want to thank our Brother Paul and Brother Jeremy for a beautiful lesson this evening and encouraging us to love one another. And remember, it's better to praise and to sing praises and things to that nature on the Father's Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, let alone the high days. Come on, people. Come on, man. Thank you for that reminder, man. No, thank you, Dad. We need to be reminded of that. I remember we used to get reminded of that, and it sounded like we would get reminded by the same person that just got to talking to.
Okay.
Y'all better love one another. I mean, wait a minute. That's what we're talking about. Oh, my God. But yeah, man, God is good, man. Enjoy the feast, enjoy each other, love on each other, love each other, encourage each other. And just remember that the feast days is about the Son. And that's it. That's it. Not you, not your family, not what you're about, not whatever you have, not where you live. It's about Him.
Amen.
So, with that being said, I'm going to thank Brother Paul and Brother Jeremy again for the Fellowship of the Spirit by the study class. Be back here next Sunday evening, same time, 7:00 p.m. here at Sun Living Waters. for this ministry. You want to be here for this, and this kind of encouragement, this lifesaver. So, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We edify someone, and as we say here at the Sounds of the Living Waters, do what?
Read the Bibles,
people. Time appointed.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We'll teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.